So as 2020 comes to an end, I want to encourage you to think about a new beginning. A new beginning. I mean, all of us are ready for a new beginning, right? I think most of us by April were ready for a new beginning. But here the end is coming to 2020. And I mean, we need to think about, and we need to answer this question in our minds and hearts. How are you feeling today? How are we feeling? How are you feeling? Really? How do you feel? I mean, turn to the person next to you and say, I feel, and then just add a describer to that if you're with someone there. How are you feeling? Let me tell you today, personally, I've been feeling in these last several weeks out of sorts. I've felt distracted. I've used the word through 2020, discombobulated. I want to be bobulated again, okay? So I feel irritable, grumpy, unfocused. And all this stuff of 2020 has begun to get to me. How about you? How about you? Are you feeling it? I'm feeling something else too. I'm feeling called to start over. To start over, to start at the beginning. Decades ago, I heard a sermon. I was thinking about this. And I thought, when was this sermon? It must have been in the mid 1970s that I heard this. So that's, 45 years ago. I heard a sermon. This old saint, he was just talking about the Christian life, and he said, by that he meant the life with Christ at the center. Your life with Christ at the center. The thing your life revolves around is Jesus Christ. And everything else flows from that. He said the Christian life, and he said the Christian life is like a board game like Monopoly. Remember those? Remember when there were board games? And everything wasn't, I'll get on my device, you get on your device, and we'll play each other a game or something like that. But there were board games and like Monopoly. And he said, instead of dice, you have a spinner that someone would flick or thump, and it goes around and then stops and points to the place you have to move next on the board. And he said the spinner is red, and it's in the shape of a dove. This, of course, represented the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would point to the next step for you to take in your life, and the person that would flick the spinner is God the Father. God the Father would say, okay, Spirit, let's give them some direction. And the Spirit would say, go here, go there, take the next step. And this teacher said, the square the spinner most often points to is go, or the beginning. Go, or the beginning. You might think, I don't want to go back to the beginning. I want to move forward in my life. I don't want to go backwards. And he said, just about the time we think we're making real progress with God, God decides we need a fresh start. Okay, you're good. Let's go back to the beginning now. He knows that we have more to add to the foundation. If we are ever going to get all that he wants us to have, we have to have the foundation he wants. Of course, some have no foundation at all. Some have started questioning this God thing and wondering about Jesus, and there's no foundation. And the Holy Spirit says, here, let's go to the beginning. Let's start the foundation together. And you start getting one. But isn't it always true, even in the physical life, we never get to the place we can skip the stuff that makes life work? We start skipping the stuff that makes life work, and we start having problems. We can't skip good nutrition or skip exercise or skip sleep. When we decide we've done enough good eating or exercise, have had enough sleep, and we decide to do without these things, then our life starts moving backwards. We start having problems with our health. And then we have to start at the beginning, don't we? The fact is, folks, the fact is, the world itself is deciding to have a new beginning. I don't know if you know this. Some of you do know it. I hope that you know that there's this system out there. The Bible refers to it as the world. The Greek is the cosmos, and it doesn't mean the physical universe. It means the spiritual world. And the world is controlled by the devil, by Satan, by the demonic. It was turned over to him. The cosmos was turned over to him by our first ancestors, and he's been running things ever since and hiding, if you will, behind the curtain. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So the world, the Bible talks about, and the world means the kingdoms of humanity, of mankind, of men and women. It means a system of worldliness as opposed to godliness. The world, when you read the world in the New Testament, understand that this is what it's referring to. It means a system that is in rebellion against God and the things of God. Well, did you know that that system of worldliness is in the process, the very process at this very moment of a new beginning? They're calling it the Great Reset. The Great Reset. Really, they're calling it the Great Reset. This is not some weird conspiracy theory some nutcase came up with and put on the internet. No, this is a product of the World Economic Forum. That group meets in various places in various subgroups, but they have an annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, where they get together, and there's people in this organization you've heard of. It's the billionaires and the millionaires and the power brokers and the politically influential from all over the world. Every nation, if you will, has representatives, sort of, but it really is an oligarch. It's a rule of the wealthy. They get together and they decide how to move forward economically in the world. And they have decided this is a great time for the Great Reset. You've heard the names of the folks that are part of this, and some of them you haven't heard of. But regarding this Great Reset, there's much to know. And quite honestly, you can just go on Google or YouTube or Yahoo and type in Great Reset, and you'll go right to the World Economic Forum webpage, and they have pages and pages explaining to you what they're all about. And of course, in their minds, they're not being evil. They're not being controlling, but they are being controlling. Control is what it's about. They want to help improve the world. That's what they ostensibly want you to see, that it's not about their power, their influence, or their vision of the world. It's about helping people. Well, I'll leave that up to you to think about, because this is not our purpose today. It's not our purpose. All this Great Reset thing got me thinking, if the worldly world system needs to think about resetting the economic and political system, why shouldn't we who follow Christ do our own reset? I mean, personally. The fact is, at the end of the story in the Bible, we are told everything will start over. And so, you know, this is part of how God works in our lives. God wants us to be able to let the Holy Spirit spin and point to go to the beginning, start over, new beginning, new start, fresh start. And so this got me thinking about what would it look like for me and then for us as followers of Jesus Christ if we decide we're going to have a reset. We're going to have a fresh start. But the Word of God actually ends after describing everything that's going to happen in the end of the age. It ends with this promise that there's a new beginning following that. Revelation chapter 21. Listen to the word of God. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I, this is John the Apostle, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Isn't this incredible? This, by the way, is a great verse for people to think, well, heaven's going to be boring. You don't get to do any of the fun stuff there. You have to sit on clouds and play harps. And just throw all that out. Throw it all out. It is going to be so incredible. Just as the world will seem to us, this is after Jesus has been ruling on earth for a long, long time. And just at the point where the earth and the way that things are start to seem too small for us, because we will have grown and advanced and become greater than we can imagine at this point as beings. At that point, God says, okay, the old earth and the old universe, it's done. Time for a new one. Time for more greater dimensions of reality than you can comprehend now. And so here we are. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Verse 5 in chapter 21. And he who sits on the throne, that's God, said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. This is going to happen. It's faithful. It's true. This is going to happen. I'm making all things new. Isn't that fantastic? Just in case you thought you were going to be bored in heaven. Just at the point the earth is too small, the universe isn't grand enough for you anymore, God's going, I got a bigger, better version. Here we go. We're going to all step into this together. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So I want 2021 to be my own personal reset with God. How about you? I've come to the conclusion that it's time for me to start over, to begin again, to have a new day, a real redo. Okay, can I have a redo? You know, you're right? I mean, it's in video games now. Hit the redo button or go back. Okay, you blew yourself up. Go back. I want a real redo. I'm deciding to reset my heart and focus in 2021. How about you? Not that I have ever abandoned God or Jesus or the gospel. No, rather I'm not at the cutting edge that I want to be in my Christian life. I have, if you will, noticed some stagnation. And the Holy Spirit has spun around and said, Gary, go back to go. Collect $200. No, it doesn't say that part. Anyway. I'm not where I want to be or should be. Are you? Are you where you should be? Some of you are going, yeah, I'm kind of where I should be. I'm kind of good. So if that's you, please lead, okay? If you have gotten to a place where you're really pumped about your spiritual life, lead, step in, step up, and help others get to where you are. How about that? How about that for a reset? Because I'm telling you, many need to reset their lives and priorities on Christ. The time is short, and the opportunity to do so it isn't long. But we have that opportunity right now. We need to do that. We need to step in to that reality. So how do you do this, Gary? Where do you start? Where do you start if God says, okay, go back to the beginning? How do you do that? What would you tell someone who asked you that? See, sometimes to be your own best counselor, you have to ask yourself, what advice would I give? If I were sitting in the chair across from me, what advice would I give? There was a rabbi, which was like the chief rabbi of New York, and he was like the guy, the spiritual leader, and this one of his rabbis was having a tough time, and he finally called this rabbi and said, he was talking to his secretary and saying to him, hey, I would like to talk to Rabbi. I have some problems. And so he hears the secretary mention this to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, where is he from? And he tells him where he's from, and he says, oh, talk to this rabbi. Have him go talk to this rabbi. He names the person that was calling for help. He names the person. And he hears this little discussion in the background. And then the secretary says, that's who's on the phone. Oh. So tell him to talk to himself. He has a wonderful spiritual life, and he will give himself the best advice he can get. And it changed this man's life. Because instead of applying spiritual principles to everybody else around him, he stopped and looked at his own life and said, what am I not doing that I'm telling others to do? Hello? Sometimes you can be your best counselor. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to lead you. What would you tell someone who asked you that? Answer that as though you were trying to help someone you cared about. It really comes down to getting the junk out of our life and replacing with good, doesn't it? With quality, with healthy, right? Isn't this the first thing you do is you'd examine someone's life with them and say, you know, you've got some junk in your life. Why don't we get rid of that? If we were only speaking here of the physical, you would tell your friend, you know, you need to set aside the junk food, stop being sedentary, start exercising, start getting some sleep. I watched, just this week, I watched a doctor review what we really know right now about the coronavirus. And a lot of it you've heard. You've heard it. We've all heard this ad nauseum. But I wanted to hear what's the latest stuff that they're saying about this. And of course, he had to say all that we already know. And then he said this, and we know this too, all right? He said, those who fight off this disease the best, catch this now, this is very important, pay attention, take care of their bodies. Imagine that. The people that best fight off this disease take care of their bodies. He said they eat good nutrition, they get moderate exercise, they stay away from cigarettes and excessive alcohol consumption. They get enough sleep, and I'm sitting there going, oh, really, doctor? Thank you for enlightening us. He really said that. He started sounding like a 1950s Baptist preacher. I'm sitting there going, you know, those 1950s Baptist preachers, they really understood something. They had some common sense, didn't they? Don't eat, don't chew, don't go, you know, go with girls who do, that whole thing. It was like, do the things that are obvious. If your body isn't physically where it needs to be, do a reset, start over, start doing the things that are helpful. Now, with all this in mind, you need to tell your imaginary friend that's really you what to do to restart their spiritual life as well. There's the physical, that's fine, and that's part of our spiritual life, actually. You want to take care of your body, but what about the spiritual life? The first thing you might ask them is if they have their faith in Christ established. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Have you invited him into your life? Do you have a relationship with God through Christ? It all starts there. Folks, any spiritual self-improvement that does not take into account a relationship with Christ is just starting in the wrong place, and you can't get there from here without Christ. To ask this another way, what do you believe in? In your heart, what do you believe about Christ? What is your confession is another way to put this. I was interested years ago, I was listening to this national talk radio personality who had taken a bunch of people on a cruise, and he was talking about how wonderful the cruise was and so forth, and he was talking about one of the nights that they had together. They all had black tie dinner together on this cruise, and someone started talking about something spiritual, and someone else said, hey, why don't we just all go around and tell everybody who we are spiritually? What is our spiritual life like? What is it based on? And everybody pretty much on the cruise, there were a lot of Christians, there were some agnostics and a few atheists and a few people with other spiritual forms of life and so forth. And then they all went around and shared, and then one of them said, now let's do that again, but tell everybody what you really think is going on out there. And the conversation completely changed. Do you see the problem? Do you see the problem? There's the official, I'll tell people what I think they want to hear, thing that we have going in our life. And then there's the real, what's going on inside thing. Let me tell you something. If the real what's going on inside thing isn't Jesus Christ and a relationship with him, you need to let the Holy Spirit take you back to go to the beginning. Listen to the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 8 and following. But what does it say, it being the Scriptures? What does it say? It says, quote, the Word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the Word of faith that we proclaim. Verse 9, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Close quote. The word of faith, by the way, is what you put your faith in, is very important here, because the word of faith that you're putting your faith in is not faith. You're not putting your faith in faith, you're putting it in Jesus Christ. Do you see that in the scriptures here? Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, the core of your being, in your innermost being, in your private thoughts, your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. That's the beginning. That's the start. That's the foundation. If you're not doing that, it doesn't matter. It's like this famous heart surgeon, the first question he asks someone that comes in who needs a serious heart surgery, he said, tell me, do you smoke? And if the answer is yes, he says, I can't help you. You need to leave. When you get that straightened out, come back and see me. It is a waste of time for me to do surgery on you when you're killing yourself. Hello? Now, I have, my mom died from lung cancer. My dad died from throat cancer. Both were smokers. I'm not here to condemn smokers. I'm here just to say what we all know. There are things we do that destroy our lives. We have to stop doing them. And we need to start doing the right things. And if Jesus Christ isn't the focus of your life, everything else I'm about to say is a waste of time. Because you and I can talk you into eating healthy and getting rest and exercise and taking nutrition and all of these things, all right? I can get you to go to church and be in fellowship and read your Bible, but if you do not know Jesus Christ, the second you step out of this life, none of it matters. There's a theologian I know, actually a friend of Rick Whitehill who spoke last week, Dr. Don Williams. He tells this story about how an acquaintance of his, somebody he was talking to about spiritual things, said, well, I have this group I go to. Would you go with me? And he went with him to this group, and he gets there, and immediately he knows from the literature that it's a cult. And this particular cult was going on about how you can be wealthy and healthy and have cars and the spouse you want and the houses you want and stocks and bonds and all of this stuff. And for a half hour, they talked about, if you do our program, this is all yours. And he listened, and then they went around the room and they said, does anybody have any questions? And they went around the room and people asked questions, and they got to Don Williams, Dr. Don Williams, one of the great theologians here of the last several decades. And Dr. Williams said, I have one question. 10 seconds after my heart beats for the last time, what good is any of this? Well, you get to have all this right now. And they went right back to the health and wealth thing. Folks, if you don't start with Jesus Christ, everything else is a waste of time. So the very next thing we might ask ourselves here, sitting in the chair across from ours, what are you consuming spiritually? What are you putting into your mind and heart? Talk about food. What are you putting into your spiritual body? Are you regularly eating good things, or is it junk food? Listen to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and following. There it says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God. And then the metaphor changes. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You're talking about teaching, and now you're talking about milk? So here's the picture. The picture is that if I'm an adult, I can eat food and my body processes it and uses it. If I'm a baby, somebody else has to eat food, their body has to process it, and then I get the milk from the mother. You see the picture. You need to be able to eat yourself. Or are you just subsisting on stuff you hear on the radio and even just from me? That's not enough. That's an anorexic diet, spiritually speaking. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness. Isn't that interesting? The word of God has become the word of righteousness, of right living, of godly living. The goal for teaching the scripture is for us to become godly, not to withdraw from the world and live in fear of the world, but to become powerful, to be able to walk in the world righteously. That's the picture. You want to become an adult spiritually. For he is an infant. 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil. Isn't that helpful? When is something evil in the world? We have a world system. It's controlled by the devil. We started with that. There are people out there telling us how to live according to their morality, and we're going, some of us are going, no, that's evil. That's not the direction to go. And other Christians, some followers of Christ, some people have said yes to Jesus but are still nursing babies. They can't distinguish good from evil, and they go, okay, I'll just do that too. Folks, it's impossible to add the good and ignore the bad food we're consuming spiritually. I mean, it's like this. When I worked the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, our team monitored spacecraft and satellites and downloaded data from these instruments, and it was a 24/7 operation. So there were overnight shifts, 12-hour shifts, and in the middle of the night, eventually somebody would say, "Hey, I'm going to go make a food run. Does anybody need anything?" Some of us would pack our own food. Other people, they'd run out and buy some. You know, there's really healthy options available at 3 a.m, you know? So you'd go to a burger place or a pizza place, and they would bring stuff back, and, you know, you'd give them a few bucks, and you'd get your your delicious, nutritious food. And so I at this point, I had gained some weight at this job because, quite honestly, middle of the night, all you want to do is eat. You want to go to sleep, you can't do that, so you have to eat. So I was gaining weight. So I had started eating more healthy. So I had celery and walnuts, and I had bought a case of protein shakes. So I would have that so that I could say no, thank you, to the other fine food that was coming in the door later. So my ops chief, operations chief, he was the director of that operation in the middle of the night. He comes over, he sees me, you know, sipping on my delicious protein shake. And he goes, what's that? And I said, oh, that's it's got nutrients, it's got protein, it's got vitamins, it's got, you know, minerals, all these things. It's good for you. And he goes, so you have that for lunch? And I go, yeah, that's the idea, you know. And he goes, I'd like to try one. He said, okay, here you go. And I gave him one. I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later, I look over it, because the console in the middle of the room where he would sit, and he could rotate around and see everybody and what's going on and whatnot. So I would see him take a bite out of his double burger, chug down some fries, drink some of the chocolate shake he had, and then sip at the protein drink. And I thought, no, he didn't get the concept. He didn't get the concept here. Isn't that what we do spiritually? We consume all this junk food, my friends. We consume it. Here's the question. What junk are you letting into your mind and heart today? It might be obvious things like pornography or Harlequin romances. It might be subtle. It might be philosophies and political ideologies that have a root that is evil. Do you have your senses trained in righteousness to be able to discern good and evil? It might be you just love this person that makes these presentations on YouTube. Or it might be the music you listen to and the words that you like the music. How many people have said, oh, I listened to that for the music? And then they came up with rap where there's no music, it's just words. And, you know, but what is it that's going into your mind as we let these songs play in our minds and hearts. Folks, this is vital. There's a Bible verse, many people, the first time they read through Proverbs, they will go, that's my life verse. They'll read this verse, Proverbs 4:23. Some of you could quote it for me right now. There it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. How can I be unoffensive but gross at the same time here? You don't hook up the toilet to the well, right? The pipes from the toilet don't go into the well, right? That's what he's saying. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So that's consumption. How about spiritual exercise? In your own personal great reset, isn't it time, folks, isn't it time for you and me to actually start or restart? Some of us have to restart regularly praying. Some of us haven't stopped, but maybe it's gotten fuzzy. Maybe you've lost focus. Maybe you let your mind wander too much and you're not connecting to God. Isn't it time to learn how to have a prayer life in the great reset of your soul? Folks, the parallels to this and exercise are real. Just know that God wants to empower you to grow in these things. At the same time, he wants you to be the one to decide that this is a lifestyle you're going to embrace. You know what your decider is? It's your spirit. It's your heart in the Bible. It's the core of who you are. Most of us have very weak deciders because we are weak spiritually. God wants you to make the decision and then take the steps and build the habits to support this. He sets us up this way so that we will grow spiritually. He's not going to force it down your throats. Why doesn't God just make me do what I should do? Why do I have to fight this? It's in the fight that we become spiritually powerful, folks. This is how it works. So what do? May I suggest you start small? Start where you are. Start with taking incremental steps. Add them to your life. Take a moment to pray over a meal before you start to eat. Decide you're going to do that for every meal. Decide you're going to have the courage to say to your family, before I eat, I'm going to have a moment of prayer. Would anyone like to join me? And if you're my age and your kids are adults, they might go, what is wrong with Dad? Let them. Because maybe they have kids, your grandchildren, and they're watching. They prayed. I remember the first time I ever saw, which was very rare, saw my father pray. I was, 4 or 5 years old. It was Thanksgiving. We went to my Aunt Eva's, which we did at that point in our lives. My Aunt Eva was my mother's aunt, and we went there. We took stuff. Everybody made dinner. We sat down, and Aunt Eva looks over at my dad and says, Robert, would you please bring the blessing? I didn't even know what those words meant. Had no idea. Nobody ever prayed in my house. Never happened. And I thought, well, that's weird. And then my dad did something that totally surprised me, marked me to this day. He lowered his head and said, Lord, thank you for these blessings we're about to receive. Bless this home. Amen. Something very simple. But it was like, my dad prays? I'd been to Sunday school. I'd heard Sunday school teachers pray on occasion. And there he was. Listen, you might be the grandparent who invites everybody in the room to pray. And then that little 4 or 5 year old is going to go, oh my gosh, there's something out there they're talking to. Where else are they going to get this? It might just be these small little things you add to your life, praying over the meals. Maybe you start every day with a prayer of thanksgiving. You end every day with God, forgive me for the mistakes I've made. Thank you for a new opportunity. Bless everybody as we sleep and so forth. You just start adding these moments of prayer in your life. Little card on your dashboard, pray for safety when you drive. Little reminders on your mirror, on your fridge, by your bedstand. Decide you're going to decide to pray. Start small. It will grow. Start making lists of family members and loved ones and how you would like to see blessings in their life, and start asking God for those, and ask God to teach you to pray. Read the Psalms, and when you see a psalm of prayer and you go, well, that prayer would be great if I put so-and-so's name in there, write it down with their name in there and pray it to God. Well, this sounds really hard. Isn't spirituality supposed to just be natural and flow from? Listen, folks, you've been given a will. Exercise it. Exercise it. Other exercises include some things you may already be doing. Spend time with other followers of Christ. Make sure you go to church. Make sure you're in a small group. Make sure you have people you can call and pray with. This is called fellowship. Make it a life habit. Let me tell you something. I as a follower of Christ, I went from dreading being dragged to church to missing it when I couldn't make it. And it was simply, there was an attitude shift. The Holy Spirit said to me one day, the Holy Spirit pointed to go and said, Gary, can you go to church 2 weeks in a row? Yeah, I could do that, God. Show me. And then, can you, see, God, I did it 2 weeks in a row. Now I can watch football next week. No, I want you to try 3 weeks in a row. Show me. And by the time 6 months had gone by, if I had to miss church, and this was a boring, stodgy, old Lutheran church, God's frozen people, all right? I mean, it was 500-year-old hymns with organ music and chanting and reading responsibly words I did not understand for a long time. But when I would miss, I missed it. Because I started getting it. Another exercise aside, decide that you're going to read the Bible. That in due course of life, you will learn to study and even memorize and even meditate on meaningful Bible verses that come across your reading. Learning and practicing generosity is another deep spiritual exercise. We see this with the people of the food ministry here and the Thanksgiving dinner and the great tamale giveaway and all the people that come and set up and the people that put things away and the people that put these cameras and the sound system in place. It's a wonderful exercise spiritually. So in a nutshell, here's what the Bible says. It says, die to self and live to God. Die to self, live to God. No, but no one wants to die. The fact is, on some level, we all choose how we're going to die by how we live. Some of us are going to eat junk food, be sedentary, become obese, self-destructive, smoke, drink, and kill ourselves that way. Or we're going to become self-disciplined and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. Listen to the Word of God. Chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 6 through 8, it says there, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with those who teach him. 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. Verse 8, for the one who sows to the flesh will reap destruction. One translation says corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Do you see it? Folks, in all discipline, it is just fine to start small. In fact, for most of us, that's actually how we have to begin. The powerful thing in starting small is this. You have started. You've started. Listen again to the Word of God. Hebrews 12, 11 says this. It's one of the great Bible verses nobody reads in their Bible studies. For the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful, right? I don't want to jog. I don't want to exercise. I don't even want to go for that walk. I don't want to say no to the happy meal or whatever, right? Seems painful. But continuing, quote, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. There it is again. There's that word again, righteousness, right living. All discipline afterward yields it the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So then for me, in the game of life, the little red Holy Spirit bird has spun around and stopped and pointed to go for 2021. By the way, I'm starting now. Look, I'm getting a head start, all right? The race officially starts in a week, but hey, why don't we get a running start ahead of time here? Start today. Holy Spirit's pointing to go. It's time for a spiritual reset. Folks, it's time to get serious. It's time to get prepared. There isn't much time left for us to do so. Let me just tell you this. There's not much time left to do so. In 2020, life got more complicated. Right now, we have time to choose. We can grow and become strong so that when the next complications hit, and they're coming, we will be ready and powerful and prepared to overcome and to live righteously in an unrighteous world. And that is the reason for the great spiritual reset of 2021. Amen. And so, thank you, brother. Well, I'm just going to take a moment and pray with you right now. Because this is, you know, heavy lifting stuff. This is, okay, get into the gym, let's get going. Let's get to the salad bar, right? Heavenly Father, thank you that you desire for us to become mighty and powerful and to have a new beginning, and Lord, to be able to grow and become so magnificent that this old universe just doesn't seem like enough anymore. Lord, I just want to say with my friends, and if this is you today, just say, yes, God, that's what I want. We want you. We want more of you. We want to be like you. We want the great reset of our spirits, our spiritual life starting right now and just cascading through 2021. Would you help us, Lord? Would you help us? Would you remind us? Would you, O Holy Spirit, would you touch our lives and point to go every day? Would you help us to make that commitment now? In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.